Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. I am deeply grateful to be with you this beautiful June 8th day, 2019, as we look at one of the most devastating aspects of human psychology, human pathology, indifference. And many of you listening to me suffer from this, and you don't know why. You don't know that you are even in this category. I understand. I really do. It takes a long, long time to be aware of indifference, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. And while we're on the subject of indifference, your donations, wow. I cannot thank you enough for those of you who have seen the effort that I make diligently here on Aspire to keep Aspire on the air on radio, serving you as well as the TV programs. Everything we do for you. Everything I work so hard for is to serve you. And the part of yourself that just is of no concern, no interest at all to you. Anyway, this is a great way of starting it out. If you are not indifferent to those things that make a difference in your life and could change actually the way you experience this worldly life as well as your, of course, inner life, I hope you will make a donation, become a sponsor, and keep us on the air. Without your gifts, your tax-deductible donations, we do not continue. And it is only through your support, your kindness, your compassion, that we are allowed to be on the radio as well as on TV. So please become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. There at the bottom of the page, you will see why support Aspire. And if you take the time to read it and really think about it and what it's done for you, you'll become a sponsor. Unless you're just like most people, indifferent. Let's get into indifference. There are two things that I think kind of define the average American. Okay, the first one is selfishness, and the next one is indifference. Of course, indifference to that selfishness. The word indifference is defined as a lack of interest, concern, sympathy, unimportance. That's all they say. But it goes a lot deeper than that. What are you indifferent to? In a way, if you use indifference correctly inside yourself towards ego, vanity, pride, things like that, that indifference could serve you very well. But most people are just living to uphold their hubris and live via the hubris, thinking that that ego that they live so stringently for and so, what shall we say, dedicated to, that something of the extraordinary will happen and they'll be recognized and adorized and loved and all that other stuff that they want, which is nothing but horse manure. And it really is. And it's what we all suffer from, this thing called indifference. Spiritual indifference is the worst. It is the thing that brings you back here over and over and over again. Whether you believe me or not, it doesn't really matter. I am subject, you are subject to the laws of impermanence. We are subject to the laws of cause and effect. We are also subject to the laws of birth and death. And we just are indifferent to it all. Because as my friend Todd Cleary once said in college, if you can't eat it, drink it, smoke it, drive it, or have sex with it, it just doesn't matter. And that was his, when he said that to me while I was in college, I thought it was the most ridiculous and funny thing I'd ever heard. Little did I know, out of my own naivete and basic stupidity, he meant it. And that was the world I was going to face as a teacher. And believe me, I face it every single hour, every single minute of my work with students, with people in general, indifference. So let's get to the questions. The first one here is from Jess in Las Vegas, Nevada. I want to care, Greg. I really do. But I don't. I don't care about anything or anyone. Why? Jess, I don't know you. I can only guess. So I'm going to take a shot at this. I could be wrong. But you have caught the sickness, the collective unconscious, the fervor of the collective unconscious, which exists like a like smog all over. It's invisible, but it's like smog. And the mind and body and state of emotionality that catches this very quickly is the one that feels like it's a, shall we say, not responsible for what goes on, a victim to what is going on. And if you have a sense of victimhood in you, you can understand looking at the country the way it is. The politicians have sucked all of the marrow out of the bone of this country. Now we are left with the chaff, and you can't earn a living off the chaff, and you can't live very well off the chaff. I talk to millennials all the time, and Gen Xers, and basically they all say the same thing to me. They do. There's no hope for humanity. There's no hope in the realm of ecology. The earth is falling apart at a rapid pace, and no one seems to care. Everybody's pointing fingers at this, that, and the other. We don't really want to get a hold of this tiger, but it's it's got a hold of us now. As far as finances are concerned, I've read many a Wall Street Journal article about how my generation, the baby boomers, absolutely cheated the Gen Xers and the... well, basically their children's children, out of a life, a life where they could buy a home and have one job and live a decent life. It isn't going to happen. People know this. They hear this. They keep voting. They keep thinking that the system will work. You know, in AA, they have a saying that I've always liked, and that is... You keep at something over and over and over again that doesn't work. And basically, it is a form of insanity. And it really is a form of insanity when we don't see what is going on within us. We become indifferent. We don't rise up. And it amazes me that this generation of Gen Xers and millennials don't rise up. They don't offer any alternative. The real alternative is not political. It is not social. I know you're going to say, Greg, I don't believe you, but it is spiritual. It is achieving consciousness and taking away whatever it is they have taken away from you as a person, Jess, and beginning to learn how to live without the merging of your life with the hopes and dreams of your political and sociological ideals, because they don't exist anymore. We live in a society that has been and is based in the idea of whoever has the most money wins. Okay? And that's just the way we live. We as Americans like that. I understand, I've read, I don't know how true it is, that people of indifference believe that money is everything and they can be rich if they scratch a lotto ticket and win the moolah. They really believe that that could eventually happen to them, and they buy these lotto tickets hoping, because they know they can't do it any other way, and they think money is the answer, blah, 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 blah. So, Jess, you want to care, you say, but you don't. Why? Because you drunk the Kool-Aid. You did. You drunk it. You're drunk on ideals and beliefs and theories that don't work, and you feel hapless and hopeless in changing anything in this world or changing society, and you would be right. You're not going to change people. They are set and determined on self-destruction. There is no doubt about it. This world is an awful mess, and we made it so. We succumbed to it because we just wanted to be happy. And we would trade away our lives for happy. What can you do? Transcend, transcend, transcend. To learn to want nothing with all of your heart. That is the meaning of transcendence. But when your mind is befuddled by genetics and the push of your DNA, and your body's full of chemistry and all sorts of neurons and neurotic things going on in the brain due to the chemical imbalance that goes on in us, both biologically and in our mental realm, we are not going to show much ability to do anything that would be in inner progress, because we don't believe in the inner. We only want to be positive. We think if we're positive, good things will happen. Things happen via karma. Now, listen to me, Jess, and try to understand. You don't have a life. Not until you awaken. If you don't awaken, you don't have a life. What are you living? You're living out your karma. It is your karma that sustains the function of your living. It is your karma that is your life. Until you understand the nature of karma and your own, you're going to be subject to all of this over and over and over again. Tremendous sorrow, tremendous sadness, tremendous frustration, but more importantly, a meaningless life is the result of all of this. And you've got to decide how you're going to live your life, whether you're going to just allow it to be pissed away in the collective unconscious, accepting values and beliefs and theories that you hear on TV or on radio that tell you that there is nothing you can do about it and you just have to work harder. The average American, I've read, has 2.5 jobs. 2.5. I don't know what the other half job is, but there you are. It's going to be hard to raise children and a family on 2.5 jobs. And that isn't even enough, Jess. I probably didn't help you here too much, but if you heard what I said about transcendence and karma, then I helped you a great deal. If you didn't hear that, you didn't hear it. Please forgive me, hey? Namaste. The next question. I don't believe that helping people helps them. Nothing changes here. Why does nothing really change, Ralph? And he does not tell me where he lives. I wish I knew. Ralph, I agree with you. You know, the more you help people, the more they depend on that help. I'm talking about social things, you know, like you can go out and feed a person, but if you don't teach them how to catch a fish, they'll just go on wanting you to feed them, kind of thing. So that's what I'm referring to. I believe in helping everyone. I do. I help people all the time. Does it really change them? No. Because of this selfishness thing they got going. Because they think, well, it's your job to go to hospice, Greg. No, no, it's not. It's a volunteer thing. It's your job to take, flack from people. No, no, I don't get paid for taking flack from people. So what is it? What are you, you got to ask yourself, how far do you go to help a person? Here's the deal. And this is what I've learned, Ralph, and I hope it helps you. I don't help people to help them. I don't want their acknowledgement. I don't seek their acknowledgement. That's the furthest thing now from my mind. What I'm looking for is, what is it that made it possible for them to be the way they are? And what can I do to show them something different? That is my motive. And Ralph, if that is your motive, then you help people a great deal. I help the homeless, you know, like anybody else. When I see them, we give them food, we give them blankets and clothing and money. Yes, we do. I give to people who you wouldn't even believe. Just opening a door for someone is helping them. Just, you know, when you're at the doctor's office or something and you see someone struggling just to get to the door, you help them. You do the things that are in your power to help people. But the deepest help you can give them is to contribute to those things that allow people to understand consciousness, to develop consciousness. I have my little Batmo project that I do. And this is a project that I've undertaken along with all the other things that I try to do to serve humankind. But this one's for the kids. I have found that people have children and don't raise them. They don't know how to raise them. They certainly know how to have sex. And they love to have as much sex as they can. The grip thing on that is, the little clinker is, the sperm get to the egg, and then before you know it, there's a baby. Now, they don't know anything about that, but they like what leads up to making that baby. And then when they find that they're pregnant, they don't really assess whether or not they can do it. They go back to their morals and what the church has told them. And there are a lot of people that shouldn't have children. But how are you going to tell people to have responsible sex and take care of that reproductive thing that goes on and on and on so mindlessly in people? I don't know how you do that. You can't tell someone before they're going to have sex, look, this could lead to having a child. You could screw this child up. It's going to make you miserable, the child miserable, the mother miserable, the father. What, you know, use some sort of birth control. No, you can't. When the chemicals are boiling within a person, the chemicals are boiling within a person. And they're not going to change, whether it's their hatred or their sex drive or whatever. They're not going to change. They're indifferent to that. So I understand what you're saying here, Ralph, about helping people doesn't help, because I've been in that situation trying to help people. And you're right, it doesn't. Their passion, their chemicals in their body, that create indifference towards being responsible, which is there. It's that innate inclination to just do whatever they want to do via DNA that looks to them like a survival thing. The instincts come up due to the chemicals in the body and the engine in the brain going. It's very complicated, but less than none, and nonetheless, it's all there. And it's acting in you even as I speak to you. If you like what I'm saying, if you understand, if you have the mental acuity for this, then you understand and you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you don't have that, then you're looking at this thing going, what the hell is he talking about? I do what I want to do. And that's the way Americans are. We do what we want to do whenever we want to do it, because we're Americans. Home of the brave, huh? Huh? Land of the dopes. And that's the way we've become, because we use our innate sense of life poorly. We just don't use it very well, and we don't care to use it very well. So how do you change them? Nothing changes them. You take it person by person. Ralph, I don't try to change the world. I really don't. But I work with one person at a time. I work with them to the peak of their understanding, their comprehension. And then when I find that I've gone as far as I can go, I might offer a little seed there, you know, for future. But then I back off and there's nothing I can do. Their indifference, their lack of interest, concern, their lack of compassion for whatever it is, I just don't argue with it. It's useless and unnecessary. And to each his own and to each their own karma. And such is the way of this world and this life. I hope you understand that, or I hope you can understand that. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Lane. He does not tell me where he lives. This could be a lady, so I don't know. I'd care more if others cared. I can only care as much as other people do. Lane. Well, I kind of understand your theory, Lane. You're saying I can do things and help people if they cared about themselves as much as I'm trying to help them. And I get the logic of that. I do. But that's not the way it is. It really isn't. It blows me away how clueless the majority of people I meet are. I mean, absolutely clueless. They are short-sighted. A lot of this has to do with this TV thing. They get engrossed and enveloped in these TV programs that are not very healthy for them. Crime shows, all sorts of dramas where people are up to spiritual mischief, as it were. And they get involved in that. Now we have our phones and our devices, and that makes us crazy. That's infiltrating the stupidity of the American public. And you get to a certain point where it's just overload. You can't help people because they can't get it, and they don't help themselves, and they don't understand what would help them, and they just don't get it. If you would care more for others if they cared, then we're stuck. Nobody moves forward. There is no way of helping. We just are a stalemate. You have to have the best interests of everyone to help them. Why do you think I do this radio program? You think this, you know, helps the majority of people? Most people don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. And a lot of the things that I'm talking about sounds like some political deal, whether I'm a liberal or a social or whatever. You have to grasp the idea, Lane, of the stupidity of the American public and the kind of people we have on this planet. And you have to be respectful, believe it or not, of all of that, because that's where we are. And you have to understand they can't understand much. They just can't get it. If they haven't seen it on TV, they haven't heard it on radio, if it doesn't appeal to their genetic nature, then they don't get it. And anything beyond those three things or four things, they're not going to consider, because they're looking for a pizza, a cheap pizza to eat, and watch TV and amuse themselves while their life piddles down the drain every day, every minute, tick tock, tick tock, and they just piss it away. But that's the nature of the sapient. He does, she does, only live for the repetition of their genetics in the hopes of fulfilling their DNA, in the hopes of somehow getting adderized and errorized for being that stupid. There's no other words for it. And don't think that the smartest person in the room is the one with the most money, because that's not true. I've met many a wealthy person who is dumber than dog dirt. And I just am amazed, amused, and astonished at what I see and how blatant it is in our country. It is human nature. It is genetics. It is chemistry. Read the book, Behave, Mature, Grow, Learn, Expand. That's what it's all about. I'm out of here. Thank you, Lane, for your beautiful question. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you heard a little sarcasm in me today, you were right. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.